Welcome to Ragnar 365 Nuggets. Thank you for joining here today.
Hello, everybody. Happy to have you here in my show. And I have a guest today from beautiful Antwerp, Belgium, Isabel de Klerk. Hi, Isabel. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Ragnar. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Isabel, we know each other since a few years, and one of the most important things what we've done together is actually writing books, really print books. And one book, the first one was Social Technologies in Business. And then the second one was in German, published by the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, Vernetzt Arbeiten.
Yeah.
And now I'm very happy to have you here and talk about what you're currently doing around this COVID-19 crisis. So my question to you, Isabel, how are you? How are things going in your daily life and in your business?
I think this is a really interesting period, Ragnar. And in fact, at the start of the crisis, that was like the first week of March, I have published an article on LinkedIn and the title was Long Live Corona. And I've written the text because I'm convinced of the fact that this period of mandatory and full-time remote work in a digital workspace has also positive effects. And so I believe that Corona will have some unexpected advantages. And so the advantages, well, I see three of them. And so the first of them is that employees will have a heightened self-consciousness, that they are more aware of the way they use their time and maybe the way they use their talents. A second advantage is Corona will be a revelation of strong and poor leadership. And I think, or my hope is, it will lead to the discovery of asynchronous communication. I have to admit, Ragnar, that I got a lot of reactions on the article. And then three persons, we were really upset because I used the title Long Live Corona. But I'm still convinced about the content.
You love to provoke and you're also a fire starter and so on. And that's why I'm having you here on the show, because I'm very, you know, from my personal point of view, I love to look on the positive side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, there are many, many disadvantages with this whole COVID-19 crisis, but there are also positive aspects. And one topic is one of my favorite topics since many, many years. I also have a blog here running. It's all about self-consciousness.
Yeah.
And could you please share with me, you know, what are your most and the most important, most relevant takeaways over the last, let's say, 8 weeks regarding changed self-consciousness?
Yeah.
Could you please share some insights into your mind?
Yeah. 3 weeks ago, there was an interview on the Flemish television with a professor in sociology. And that interview really caught my attention because of two things. The first thing the professor said, that he said, well, this is a very interesting period because the systems that normally provide structure, like going to work, going to school, you know, doing sports, all these systems now are gone. And so the word that he used was, this is a period of destructuralization. And I think that's an interesting concept. But then, Ragnar, he said, I'm going to quote him, I'm sure that after Corona, people will be happy to go back to the office and that they will be happy to get stuck in the traffic again. So that was
really, oh my God,
that was really horrible. But I think that the professor just made an error in his reasoning. And of course, it's true that we need structure. It is true that structure gives us peace and mental health. But I think that people are able to find new structures themselves. They do not need necessarily the push of the boss or the rules of the office, so they can find new structures themselves. And the fact that they have to do it now leads to the fact that they will start asking themselves other questions, like, for example, how was I using my time before Corona? How am I using my time now? So I think, or it's my hope, that people will take more ownership of the way they use their time because they simply become more conscious about it. But I also think that what this professor of sociology said in the Flemish television is really an illustration of a paternalizing view on people. And so even last week, he got an interview in a very famous Flemish newspaper, and he said, oh, my research shows that people are doing quite well, and that really surprises me. So that, again, it's really a paternalizing view. But
it sounds like opportunism.
Yeah, well, and it's, Yeah, but I'm afraid, Ragnar, that maybe this view might be a prevailing view in a lot of organizations. And like 2 weeks ago, there was another interview with a CEO of a very important bank. And this guy also said that he was convinced of the fact that people would be very happy to come back to the office. But anyhow, I'm convinced of the fact that Corona will have a long-lasting impact on the way we work. And I think that the future of work will not be remote work like 100%. I think that the future of work will be a combination of remote work and work in the office. But, you know, like not working in the office used to be like a minor phenomenon that was only like allowed, you know, against the will of the manager. But I presume that it will become part of the new normal. And I already see some organizations in Belgium like Etias, they are an insurance organization. They said that remote work, even after Corona, will be part of their daily routine. So yes, it will change some.
That it will, yeah. And for change, we always need leadership. So what are your thoughts here? You know, how should leaders change? Because you're offering leadership workshops and coaching and consulting. So what do you see here? How do they need to change and behave?
I think that leaders play a crucial role in order to make sure that the digital workplace can become a success. Let me explain that. I often tell my participants in the workshops that they should use now the digital workplace to finally be able to work in a more focused way because, you know, they are not interrupted by colleagues all the time. And I think that they have the right to focus and to be not available, like, let's say, 2 hours a day, you know, to do focused work on difficult knowledge work. And then, Ragnar, some of them tell me that they are simply not allowed to do so because their managers want to control them. And so their managers want them to be available all the time.
Oh, my God. Micromanagement. Yes, the worst. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So if you have micromanagement, if you are as an employee in a control and command dynamic, then the digital workplace becomes like a new prison that will stress. It's a very dangerous situation, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's an excellent point. And you're putting right your fingers into the wound here. So what is your number one recommendation of how leaders should change and what they should do now?
To prevent
this kind of rhythm where they easily can trap into it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ragnar, that I like reading books. That's one of the reasons that I have written a book myself. So I'm reading all the time. And there is some interesting work that passed by the last month. And it's by an American professor in psychology. His name is Michael Steger. And he's doing research on the following question. He asks himself, when does work give meaning to people? So in which circumstances does work give meaning to people? And so according to Michael Steger, you need 4 elements. So people, he says, they find meaning in their work when, first of all, they feel they make a positive impact on something that is what we could call the greater good. Mm-hmm. Secondly, work should facilitate personal growth and continuous learning. And the third element is that people should know that their work is a meaningful contribution to that greater good. And the fourth element is that there should be a parallel between the values of the organization and the personal values of the people. So if I translate these 4 elements, and they are common sense, you know, if we translate these elements to leaders, I would say that in times of Corona, more than ever, leaders have to have more explicit communication about this greater good.
I think you also love to read Simon Sinek.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I'm reading your mind here, yeah.
Yes, certainly. But then leaders should have like more explicit communication about the why. I think they should also make more explicit how exactly the work of each individual contributes to this bigger why, to this greater good. And I think just leaders, just they take it for granted and they do not communicate about it. And so the third element is that they could encourage people to become lifelong learners since learning and personal growth is so important. And I think they should also make reflect people more upon their own values. And so I just, like a couple of weeks ago, I read on Facebook, if you can't go outside, it's the ideal period to go inside. So it's indeed a good period for more self-reflection and introspection. Because also research shows that people whose values coincide with the values of the organization, that's the research done by Blessing and White already years ago, that if so, the values of your organizations are the same of the values of the people, these people are more engaged and they are more productive.
Yes, and we all want to be more productive. And one thing what I'm currently observing is since we are locked down here in our home offices, that we have video calls, video conferences. Personally, I'm having like 8 hours, 10 hours of video conferences, and many conferences are now with video. And if you're using tools like Microsoft Teams or Zoom, in Zoom, you have up to 49 different pictures and video faces staring on you. I've seen researchers where people are extremely exhausted in their evening because they have for 8 hours staring many dozens or hundreds of people staring in their face. And that's something what the human brain is not actually made of, that you have so many strangers staring at you in video conferences. Yeah. So what do you think? How is your personal experience regarding this kind of exhaustion and also headache? And what is your recommend to save more personal energy and prevent this kind of exhaustiveness by doing too many video conferences?
Yeah, I think, well, the first element we talked about, Ragnar, was about more self-consciousness. And I think that people now start to be aware of the fact that their day is stiffed up with, you know, just video conferences and doing meetings. And isn't it a poor idea or so a sad idea to think that work is just about, you know, having meetings? And so people really start realizing that their work should not be about meetings, you know, all the time. Secondly, I think that they also start getting more conscious about the fact of the poor quality of the meetings. And of course, there are some rules that you have to follow in order to make sure that your meeting is a good one, like who is leading the meeting? Do we need a meeting after all? Mm-hmm. Do we have a strict timekeeping? Is there an agenda and objectives? And well, the digital meetings force us to become an excellent facilitators. And of course, this is nothing new, but just people forgot. And so I think that that's what I would like to say, is that maybe finally you get aware of the fact that your whole day is full of meetings, and that maybe in order to make an impact, to really create value for your organization, maybe you should also do other things than just having meetings. And so this also brings me to my other favorite topic, Ragnar, and I think I know that you also like it. It's about, you know, the difference between synchronous communication and asynchronous communication. People say to me, yeah, why are you so passionate about digital communication? Because, you know, video, and it gives me headache. And I say, okay, these video conferences allow me to be connected with other people. So that's one good thing, but it's nothing new. You know, there is like nothing new. For me, the newness, the magic of the digital workplace is in asynchronous communication. It is what happens in tools like Yammer or in Microsoft Teams when we share our lessons learned, or in LinkedIn, when you have asynchronous communication in networks. That's the magic of the digital workplace. And so I hope that because we have more time maybe for reflection, introspection, that people will go more towards asynchronous communication and a more reflective work. Well, that's my hope.
Yeah. I've got the exact same observation, because I hear a lot of people saying, hey, I'm so busy, could my time please have more hours? But what they actually want to say is, could my time have more focus hours? Yeah. And with this kind of enterprise social networks, like you mentioned, you know, we can really have more focus time. And the most important thing is we can have more time to think about things, where we have the freedom of thinking, you know, going into a park, having a run, think about things, and not only being stuck in meetings the whole day, because our brain needs this kind of pause, but we also need time to think and reflect. And that's the reason why we're both so extremely passionate about asynchronous communication.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And I also wanted to say something, that there is, you know, this, what I call the tyranny of availability of the team. And now it is gone, you know, because you are working from home. So there is maybe less tyranny of the team. But also, you know, we like social collaboration. But there are also, I think, a kind of other tyranny in that, that you always have to be social. And so one of the messages that I would like to give to people is that sometimes knowledge work is also about working on your own and not communicating with other people. And so I was also influenced by the work of Carl Newport. He hates social media, but one of his books that I really liked is, you know, with the title Deep Work. And so he emphasizes that we seem to have forgotten what it is to do like work, knowledge work. So what I also say to my participants is that they should try to have like 2 hours of focused work each day. And I have read another book. It's called When by Daniel Pink. He has done some research on when are our most productive hours. And for most of us, it is in the morning. So my focus hours are between 9 and 11. So it means between 9 and 11, no iPhone, no social media, no emails. And so when I was able to focus between 9 and 11, at 11 o'clock, Ragnar, I'm so happy that I have done my difficult work. But it does take some courage not to go to your email box.
Same for me. So I'm very productive between 7 and 9. Uh-huh. The only disadvantage is that I don't have time for running. Others are did their 12K run at this time. I didn't do anything here. But that's the way how I can do my focus time. And I'm also using tools like My Analytics from Microsoft, which is measuring focus time. And I can also easily adjust my focus time. Let's say, listen, I definitely want 1.5 hours focus time every single day or 2 hours. And then at the end of the week, Friday evening, I can measure, okay, did I fulfill my plans? So it's a little bit like a Fitbit, which can measure my daily steps using the focus time. Yeah. Personally, I'm a big fan of social media, so I definitely have my personal challenges using focus time, but I have good experiences using the Pomodoro technique where I have a timer of going offline for 25 minutes and do kind of sprints, so really focus sprints, shutting everything down, no social media, no email, nothing, no chats, and then just doing this 25-minute sprints a few times a day. So that's my things which work best in my way because I cannot go offline for 3-4 hours like others.
And so, anyhow, this Pomodoro technique, it makes you more aware of the way you use your time. And I also use it. And sometimes after 25 minutes, I'm so glad with the amount of work that I did. And sometimes after the 25 minutes, I said like, oh, this not was going right. But anyhow, there is more confidence about the way you use your time.
It's a very satisfying feeling. Absolutely. Yeah.
About, you were speaking about social networks, etc. What I think that leaders should do in the future, because the future will be a combination of remote work and work in a physical workplace.
Absolutely,
I think that during meetings, for example, they should also talk about what they have learned being in the digital workplace, so that there is like this connection between the digital and the physical workplace. I think like people like us, Ragnar, maybe we emphasize too much on just, digital workplace. But I think so the future will be like the ecosystem of physical and digital. And so the physical workplace should like make references to what you have done in the digital workplace.
Yeah.
So for example, leaders should say, I saw this interesting discussion on Yammer, or I have learned this and that while being on LinkedIn. And so that they can show themselves that they are building up a network within the organization, outside the organization, and they should also encourage their employees to do so, because then, they develop themselves. And like I said, that was one of the elements mentioned by Michael Singer, that development and training makes people happy. It gives meaning to work and it makes them more productive in the end.
That's very important. So I call it the blended social networking. That's a word which I've just invented. Yeah. And then it means really to distill the best of the online communication with the offline communication, take the best elements. And here you always need a very precise self-awareness to find out what is the most important in the online and in the offline world, because it's always very different for every single person. So here, that's the reason why self-consciousness is important.
Yeah.
Again, to bring the best of both worlds into the new hybrid blended social networking world.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Excellent topic. So we are prepared for the future. The most important thing is that you are going to stay healthy. And we're really looking forward to see you soon.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Isabel, for being here in my podcast.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Very happy to have you here. And all the best to you in Antwerp, Belgium.
Yeah.
Isabel, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.